This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about life jackets and why you need them even in the middle of the winter.
We also have music by Matt and Josie Minicus and much more.
Stay with us.
Good morning. It's a bright new morning here at Wake Up With Hope. Thank you so much for waking up with us today.
We're so happy to be here, excited for another day of life as we bring this year, 2022, to a close.
Wow.
Our program today is sure to warm your heart this winter morning as we have many special things in store. Honey, tell us, what do we have going on today?
Sure. Well, we have on today's program, we're going to talk about having a good, wholesome breakfast and the importance of that and why you should walk around with a life jacket. Yep.
Even in the winter?
You heard me right. Even in the middle of winter. We can't wait to share that and much more with you today. So let's get started by taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
It was on this day in the year 1808 that Ludwig van Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67, the Fifth Symphony, the world's most recognizable piece of classical music, had its world premiere. Did you know that the very first time it was heard under adverse conditions? The concert venue was freezing cold. It was more than 2 hours into a larger 4-hour program before the piece began, and the orchestra played poorly enough that day to force the nearly deaf composer, also acting as conductor and pianist, to stop the ensemble partway into one passage and start again from the very beginning. It had a very unpromising debut into the musical world.
Unpromising. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was like a root out of dry ground. He had no comeliness. This doesn't necessarily mean that he was not good looking, but rather he had no earthly attraction to draw people to him. He wasn't dressed in rich attire or riding on the most expensive attention-grabbing horse he could find. Rather, Jesus was a humble man, a man of great peace and love. His was a love that showed not in how he looked or how he sported around, but rather in his words, in his deeds, his actions. Those who looked only on the outside saw nothing magnificent in him. He seemed unpromising. But those who looked deeper and truly paid attention realized that there was something different, something wonderfully different about this man. They followed him because of his love, his deep care, and because he had the truth. Now, how about you, friend? As his follower, are you showing his truth, his love, and deep care to others? Or do they see something else when they see you? Something to think about.
That is something to think about. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. You know, what happens when you go to sea without a life jacket?
Not good.
Although many people have done this before, it only takes a second to turn a good day into a bad day. Adrian Webster tells us why we need to have a life jacket of sorts every day of our life.
When you're somewhere as beautiful as this, it's so tempting to quickly launch your boat and get onto the water. Sometimes the excitement makes us forget some very important items. Most importantly, make sure there are enough life jackets for everyone. Even if you've been on the water for many years and have a "yeah, she'll be right" attitude, it only takes one event to turn your day into a disaster or a tragedy. In 2012, two men drowned off the coast of Waiheke Island. The boat tipped as one of the men moved to the stern. They weren't wearing life jackets. Another man at Papanui Inlet fell into the water and drowned. He wasn't wearing a life jacket, and recently the coroner determined that two Kaikoura men who drowned were not wearing working life jackets. I'm sure they've done this many times before and thought they were safe. But hey, it only takes a second to turn a good day into a tragedy. And how about life? Do we have an approved life jacket to save us through the experiences that life throws at us? Many people think their life jackets are work, pleasure, or money. Or it may be things like drugs, sex, or sports. But what happens when your sports team lets you down or your material possessions become outdated? Could it be that in times of emergency, the most important thing in your life was not there at all? You had no life jacket aboard your life craft. The wise King Solomon famously wrote, "I gave my heart to seek wisdom concerning the things that are done under heaven. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly." You see, King Solomon was eager to discover what really brought happiness. It was his great life's work. He lived in magnificent mansions, was highly educated. He hosted parties, built hanging gardens. He planted vineyards and had servants and armies and had great wealth and had many wives. He held nothing back to find happiness. Then at the end of his search for happiness in life, he made this startling statement. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, he discovered that if God is not part of your life, then you don't have a functioning life jacket. Jesus has asked to be our life jacket. He asked us to cast all our cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. If you're drowning in life struggles, if the things you've worked for are not truly satisfying, then look to Jesus and the life-saving plan he has for you. All you have to do is accept it, and Jesus will keep you floating throughout life's roughest storms.
Are you enjoying today's program, friends? Don't forget to share it with your friends or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And you can also search for us on YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
Well, friends, we are so excited. We have more to share with you this morning, but we have to take a quick break. When we return, we will talk about breakfast. And later, Faith for Today will be sharing a devotional blessing with us. Don't miss a thing. Stay with us. Are you tired, struggling, down, or discouraged? Well, we've got just the thing to encourage you today. Matt and Josie Minica sing their song, Rest a While, as they invite each one of us to trust and rest in God's faithfulness and love.
He's promised to provide for you.
We're taking a break now, but when we come back, we're going to have Faith for Today sharing a very inspiring devotional.
But first, why eat a good breakfast? Dr. Narada McKibben shares this next.
Did you know that having a healthy breakfast is good for mental function, concentration, creativity, and even mood?
Well, I know that, and that's why I'm so committed to doing that very thing.
You are? What are you eating?
Ice cream flavored loopy sugars. Don't they look beautiful?
Well, that sounds healthy.
It must be because it tastes awesome. And the box says I'm getting 25% of my vitamins and my minerals for the day.
All naturally occurring, I'm sure.
It must be. Look at those beautiful fruity colors.
Colors, yes. Fruit, no. They've got numbers attached to them. Those are artificial colors.
Well, they can't be all that bad, can they?
Oh, food dyes have been associated with irritability, aggression, learning disorders, hyperactivity, allergies, even cancer. And did you see? There are 3 teaspoons of sugar in that one bowl of cereal.
Is that enough?
Enough? That's enough to get diabetes.
Well, you're going to be proud of me. You know what? I've just decided to give up my loopy sugars.
Well, I am proud of you.
Thanks.
What about your other cereals?
Oh, don't you dare touch my cocoa sugars or my donut sugars that have 8 essential vitamins and minerals.
Don't worry, they're safe with me. Don't start your day with sugary, artificially colored processed cereals. Instead, fruit, whole grains, nuts and even legumes make the best breakfast. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
Did you know that the shepherds were the social outcasts of Jesus' day?
Some shepherds earned their poor reputations, but others became victims of a cruel stereotype. The religious leaders maligned the shepherd's good name. Rabbis banned pasturing sheep and goats in Israel, except on the desert plains. The Mishnah, which is Judaism's written record of the oral law, also reflects this prejudice, describing shepherds as incompetent. Another law says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. Can you believe that? Jeremias, the historian, documents the fact that shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They could not fulfill judicial offices or even be admitted in court as witnesses. He wrote, quote, "To buy wool, milk, or a kid from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property," end quote. Smug religious leaders maintained a strict caste system at the expense of the shepherds and other common folk. Shepherds were officially labeled sinners, which is a technical term for a class of despised people. And it is into this social context of religious snobbery and class prejudice that God's Son stepped forth. How surprising and significant is it that the Father would handpick lowly, unpretentious shepherds to be the first to hear the joyous news? It's a boy, and he's the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 tell us this story. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" As we gaze on nativity scenes, we smile at those gunny sack shepherds, but let's not lose sight of the striking irony. A handful of shepherds, marginalized by the social and religious elite, were the ones that were chosen to break the silence of centuries heralding the Messiah's birth. I want you to note also that because of their vocation, shepherds were considered unclean and could not take part in temple worship without ritual cleansing. They were despised by the people, considered untrustworthy, and unable to testify in a court of law. They were close to the temple in their vocation, but far away from it in true practice. They were an example of the outcast that Jesus came to save. It is, however, these people who were probably as ready as anyone to hear the good news of the coming of the Messiah. They were not caught up in the arrogance of their own religion, nor were they rich and self-assured. Needless to say, this awesome display of God's presence was frightening to these shepherds. Again, people who were not considered worthy of even entering the temple, the place attributing God's presence to man. So what did the shepherds do when the angels left? Well, they probably talked amongst themselves of their amazement, verifying with one another that that just actually happened. They then resolved to follow the angel's command to go see the Christ child. Now, the words "came with haste" refer less to speed than it does in the manner and the intent of their travel. The word refers to going straight toward a destination as though they cut across the fields, yards, and fences of people just to get to their destination rather than to take the longer, more traveled roads. Also, the word "found" in this text implies that they did have to search for the baby. Their act of asking around town for the whereabouts of a newborn baby served to spread the word of the birth. They did find the baby, as the angel had said, witnessing the unique setting of the baby wrapped in the poorest of fashion, resting in a feeding trough. After they left, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they started telling everyone who would listen about what they had just seen and heard. People were amazed. We know that the word of the baby started by the shepherds ultimately made it all the way to Herod, the Jewish king appointed by Rome, who then considered this child a threat to his authority, and he sought to kill him. Shepherds had dirty jobs. There aren't any shower stalls in the desert, so bathing is difficult. Sheep's wool is dirty and oily, so those who handle them are probably the same. The fact that they couldn't bathe properly and that they were constantly dealing with the blood and the birthing of baby sheep, this is the reason why they were ritually unclean all the time. And Jewish law normally required 7 days away from blood in order to enter the temple and worship God. So you can see these guys weren't likely to be the church-going type. They were, in many respects, despised by the general populace, even when they provided an essential service for the church. Many scholars believe these Bethlehem shepherds could have been the very shepherds that tended the flock for the temple herds. These were the sheep that would be sacrificed on holy days in an atonement ritual for the forgiveness of sins. So the great irony right here of these Bethlehem shepherds is that they could have provided sacrificial lambs for the temple, and on the night of nights, they were able to see the perfect Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. They couldn't attend the temple, so God sent the temple to them. The teaching of the Bible offers kind of a paradoxical view of the shepherds. They were considered dirty, dishonest, and lower-class citizens, yet among their lot was King David, who spent his early years of life tending sheep, playing his harp for them, and throwing stones at predators in preparation for the big stone throw against the head of Goliath. And there was Jesus, who chose to present himself as the good shepherd, the one who would lay his own life down for the sheep. But David was a shepherd only as a puny teenager, much like many teenager jobs at fast food restaurants or grocery stores today. That's where you start your career, not where you want to end your career. And the question of the day then is this: why would God choose shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, to be the first to hear the good news of the birth of the Son of God? What can we possibly learn from this dirty, despised class of sheep tenders? Once again, I'd like to have you look at these characters in the Christmas story and learn important life lessons from them. We can never forget when the angelic announcement arrives, it comes first to the social outcast of Jesus's day. These men were unclean. There's no mention of them stopping off to become clean before they make their trek to Jerusalem to see the newborn baby, which has further significance for us today. It seems that now more than ever, we need to hear the Christmas story. And the story is this: out of God's inexhaustible storehouse of love, He sent you, the exhausted outcast, a Savior. And that brings us hope today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy. Thank you for sharing that inspiring message.
Well, that's the end of our program for now. Thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about us or share with friends, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, tune in right here tomorrow at the same place. We will have a refreshing message from Reflections of Hope, a very special segment with Ronnie Mills, and a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley. If you enjoyed our devotional thought this morning, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
Amen. And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. Today's Bible promise says, "I will tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." That amazing promise is found in John chapter 5, verse 24.
Amen. How wonderful to be able to walk in this world knowing that we are the children of the heavenly kingdom, and that we belong to a different place where our Savior himself awaits our arrival. What a blessing to know that we have eternal life as we believe in the one who paid it all.
Amen, amen. It is truly a beautiful promise. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, today, Lord, from wherever we are. It doesn't matter what country we're watching from. It doesn't even matter what time of the day we're watching. Right now, we welcome Jesus Christ to have a place in our heart. We welcome you, Lord, into our hearts, into our hearts. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Because in doing so, we receive eternal life. And we can have that assurance, yes, that we have eternal life because we have Jesus in us. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. Thank you for this hope that fills us today with courage and strength to face each day with you. In Jesus' name, amen.